culturii. An encounter with people of different cultures. This is Father John Guanes welcoming you back to another program, Culturi. And today's guest is Mr. Fernando Saceres, who is an accountant by profession and who comes from a very large country with a bigger civilization, one might say, which overlooks the Pacific Ocean. He is from Peru. Very often, at least those of us who are, so to say, in a sense, partially illiterate, don't think that there are such cultures as that of Peru, which is as old as 7,000 years BC, and that there were huge empires like the Incas Empire. Unfortunately, the West, or the Europeans better, didn't do always a nice job. You know, Peru was conquered by Pizarro in 1532, and it became Spanish, and so everybody in Latin America speaks, all Latin America speaks Spanish, with the exception of Brazil, who speaks Portuguese, because it was a Portuguese colony. So the first question I'd like to ask you, do you still have original native languages in Peru?
Yeah, well, like you know, Peru have two different languages. Like the main language is the Spanish, but the other we have for the Quechua and the Aymara. Most people speak Spanish, obviously, and people from the mountains speak Quechua.
And you got different ethnic groups.
Yeah.
The largest ethnic group is the Amerindians.
Yeah.
Which is essentially American Indians, is it? And then the 31% are mestizos.
Yeah.
What is there? Is there a great different cultural gap between these two?
Yeah, there is a big difference because, as you know, Peru have different weathers, like because the Andes diversify different people as well. Like for example, people from the coast think different people from the mountains. People from the mountains think different people from the Amazons. So this is why Peru can't develop so quick, because different people of thinking. If you do one policy for one, the other does disagree. So it's a kind of a stone to develop the country, you know.
So in a sense, although it's not a tribal society, it still needs some form of stronger integration between different civilizations which exist between different ethnic groups.
Yes, you're right.
Let's go, given that you are talking of culture. Of course, now, as we've said, Peru is a huge country territorially. I have the figures. Territorially, it is an area of more than 1.2 million square kilometers. So you can't imagine to have one single culture in such a big country. But when we are talking about culture, we are taking a general view, not a specific going to each ethnic group, because each ethnic groups will have its own long established tradition and culture. But what, in your view, what are the main values to which the Peruvians hold? What are the desirables of Peru?
So, if we are talking about values, about people, most of the people, as you know, if you read in the books and things like that, is 99% are Catholics. So people until now will maintain strong values in the families. Maybe because as you know, like when the globalization was coming so quick, like technology, people are losing values because, as you know, young people, before we used to play with the ball in the streets, but nowadays they have internet, they stay at home, so socialization become less and less. So, and this is part of forming the value for the people. If people who live in the coast, they have more opportunity to technology, I think they are losing the value. But people who live in the mountain and maintain the values because the core of the family is too approachable for them.
And what would be the core value in a family? Would it be loyalty, honesty, honor? Is honor of the family still held in high value as it was held in some years back in Central Mediterranean, for example?
Well, I think most of Peruvians I know, like, they like to be progress in the future, you know. One of the values is like to be one of the best, you know, like if they have opportunity, depending obviously from where they are coming, you know, because if there are small families, they don't have nothing to eat and they don't have the opportunities, you know, like if you speak about needs, the basic needs you have to have, you know, like, and then building other things.
We are speaking about poverty, we'll discuss that a bit later. But before turning to the economy, and what do you think, which is, what are the people Peruvians don't like, don't appreciate?
To tell you the truth, when I see everywhere I went, sometimes you don't appreciate what you have in the country. When you are away, you appreciate what you have. Mm-hmm. Like Peru, for example, before for me it was, if you know Quechua, how to speak, it's like in the low society only speak. Mm-hmm. But in reality, when you are abroad, you say, this is my language, we should learn, you know. Mm-hmm. So people don't appreciate what they have. And I think one is...
But what would upset them if a foreigner would behave in a certain way? What would upset them most if someone were to behave?
I think when you...
Which particular behavior would upset them?
When the... I think when... if they invite, for example, at home, they invite to something to eat, you don't eat or something like that.
Okay, so the value of reciprocation is very important and people have... get hurt if you don't reciprocate.
Yes,
or accept hospitality.
Yeah. Also, when people start shouting a bit, it's a bit scary, you know.
Is it? So, it's, in a sense, it's a soft-spoken culture.
Yes, yes.
In the family, who has the greatest authority? We always speak of the macho culture, that the men have always dominated women. Apart from a few African tribes which are maternalistic, that is where the mother is really the queen, and she dictates, she and the uncle on her own, on her side, dictates what really happens in the family. How is the situation, the traditional situation between husband and wife? Do they sit in common, or it is the husband who is still the patriarch?
No, there is a difference. Not whole families, but mostly you can see the man is, like we say, a macho, you know. Mm-hmm. But nowadays, I think with education, it becomes like equally.
And do extended families still exist, or?
No. Now.
So nuclear families.
Nuclear family count very small now.
Yes, but there isn't the control, say, of the grandfather on the family.
No.
The
was until 17, I think.
Until 17. So yes. We are speaking about 40 years ago. It's not very much. I mean, I'm even in Malta. I think in 1970, a grandfather would have some form of control on what his sons and his daughters do.
But I think new generation is thinking differently, and. Like, for example, even, but if you're saying, like, to control the family, I mean, until now, the youngsters, they are controlled by the parents, yes, until they're 18, 19.
They still obey the parents?
Yes.
Youngsters, Yes, let's turn to religion. As you said, Roman Catholicism is the imported religion from the Spaniards. And people are mostly Catholic in Latin America and in Peru in particular. How is this religiosity expressed? How is this religion expressed?
I think we express ourselves in the church, like, for example, doing feast in the church, singing, praying, small groups, and we maintained the religion even at home. Sometimes the priest come to do rosary every home, you know, visits to every home. So they maintained, and they respect a lot.
Religion?
Yes, people respect a lot, yeah.
You've been living in Malta for quite a number of years now. Yeah. How do you compare our parochial feasts to the way feasts are celebrated in public in Peru? Do you see similarities or dissimilarities between them? Apart from the fact that perhaps the Maltese have a higher standard of living, perhaps they spend more and so on, I don't know. But
As you know, like here in Malta in summer, every village has a feast, yeah?
Yeah, or two.
And they spend, like we say, burning money in the sky, you know, like.
And, are you referring to fireworks in particular?
Exactly. And but there are people who, like, I never understood this, yeah. To tell you the truth. In Peru you do, but you don't do so much, you know, like, you're always small, very small.
Even in Guy Fawkes, England, do they do so much on the Feast of Guy Fawkes, which is the Feast of English Fireworks, essentially. But in terms of religious activities, do you think they are stronger in Peru than in Malta, for example?
I think so, yeah, because most of the priests who work there, they are very active doing groups, small groups for the youngest, adults, and third generation, you know, like doing many activities through the church, you know. So they're very active in these things.
Is the church influential on politics in Peru?
Well, it's a bit hard because like the last election, for example, Cardinal Cipriani was a lot interfering in politics, so. Mm-hmm. But not all the priests are, they don't, you know, like, saying are in politics. Most of them they are working in the parish, but if you see the head going to politics, mm-hmm. people generalize, you know.
Yeah. Now, let's turn to the economy. What would have been the traditional basis of the Peruvian economy? Definitely agriculture, because of its highlands, but fisheries, because of its long coast.
Yes, as you know, Peru is improving economically.
Yes.
And
like several countries in Latin America.
In Latin America, but mostly it's done by natural resources, you know, like mines, and mostly mines, you know, like, but you don't know where the money is going, because economically and figures you see it's growing, but if you see the people, the standard people, you don't see it.
Is it a problem of local corruption, or it's a question of multinationals ruling the country, basically?
I think it's mostly multi-corruption. The corruption. Yes, yeah. Corruption between politics, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's like the gap between rich and poor is very wider. So,
do you have the huge haciendas, which private ones, which they have in Brazil, for example, or a land owned by a single person, huge?
Depending where you are. Like, for example, if you are in, let's say, in Lima, you don't have huge haciendas, but if you are in near Amazon, yes, you have.
Yeah, and are they normally kept within the hands of the same number of families?
Exactly, generation by generation, you know.
How does the socialization process take place? How are children educated apart from schools? I mean, we are referring mainly to how they start when they are very young in the family and so on.
So I will tell you personally, me, like, we are six brothers, three sisters, two brothers, and most of my brother will start playing, you know, football and things like that. But then when you grow up, you look some kind of small institution, like, for example, like, to help in the church and things like that. Mm-hmm. And then you go to catechesis and things like that. You spend mostly your childhood like that.
So the church is very, very influential in the education and the socialization of the younger generation.
Yes.
And do parents approve of it?
Obviously, most of the parents, yes, they approve because they know the church give good values and teach good values to the people, mm-hmm. or the kids and things like that for the future, and, you know.
Yes, and what is the Spanish cultural influence, apart from language, still felt in Peru?
I think so, like, for example, like you said before, like, different kind of people, like mestizos, like criollos, are people different, so the way they think is different as well. For example, if you are in Lima, it's not part of Lima, mm-hmm. one mestizo can go in there, you know, like, they have problems because discrimination until now exists, you know.
So these different ethnic groups, in a sense, are retaining still physical boundaries among themselves.
Yeah, I believe like that, yeah.
Is there a pressure not to intermarry into other ethnic group? Do you think people would prefer their children to marry in the same ethnic group?
No, nowadays it's mixing everyone. Because I think, like, for example, before it was like, there is a university, like, it's called La Catholic, only used to go rich people, you know. Most of people who didn't afford, but most of people now are working, even if you are poor, you want to give the best education to your kid, put in this university, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. So automatically they are creating a relation and building a future, you know, as well. So then they can get married, only God knows what will happen in the future. Yeah?
And is education free of charge, or you've got to pay
no,
for it?
No, obviously you have to pay. And obviously, there is public school, like you said. Public school, there are a lot of bureaucratic things. In, like, for example, they don't give a good service in education. Like you said, private is much better.
And what do you think is causing this?
I think it's lack of control of the teachers, lack of planification, communication between the government of Peru, you know.
I'm sure there are the police. You can't imagine a third world country without the police, although you have moved far ahead from being a third world country now. But besides the police, what are the other forms of social control within Peru? How would people control you, say, by gossip, or how would they try to control? Suppose I go there and I misbehave as a priest. How would people try to control me?
Last 5 years, the media has come a very, very important tool to control people, especially government and main people in Peru, yeah.
But does this level of, not level, I mean, I wouldn't expect everybody to go to university, but is education reaching the grassroots or not? So is it compulsory to go to primary school? Otherwise you'll be punished.
If you are living in the coast, like you say, most people go. But if you live in the mountains, sometimes people you find they never been to school. You never know what is school. It's the difference, you know?
And besides religious festivals, religious feasts, I mean, to saints and so on. Do you have any secular festivals which are celebrated with great pomp in Peru?
I think that the independence of Peru, 20...
Independence?
Yeah.
Do you commemorate any heroes in particular?
Yeah, we'll hear, like, the guys who fight in the war and things like that.
Yeah. Let's turn to something very tasty. Which is the, so say, the most popular dish in Peru?
So we have different things, like, for example, depending on what you want to eat.
Yes, yes, but I mean, not what I want to eat, but I mean, what is most popular among, what do people like most? For example, many people come to Malta, and maybe traditionally we should tell them that fennec is our most popular dish, and now with the expansion of if the fisheries, now fish has become very popular, both because the fishing industry has expanded, and because of greater health awareness, so people tend to eat more fish than meat, if possible, if they can afford it.
Well, if you are in Lima, you can eat arroz chaufa. It's like rice with chicken, something like that. If you are in Arequipa, you take rocoto relleno, that is like kind of spicy, but with meat inside, like green.
Like meatballs, basically.
Yes. And then we have like guinea pigs, cui, yeah?
Guinea pigs also?
Yeah.
Oh, we don't eat them in Malta, but I'm sure that if we eat them, they might be tasty. is your staple food rice or bread?
More rice.
Rice. Rice is more common, yeah, than bread. So, apart from the colonial Spaniards, how would you explain the origin of the ancient Peruvian culture? Which is the nearest culture near to it in Latin America, perhaps, or imported from somewhere else?
I think it was very interesting culture because I think we look like Aztecas, mm-hmm, or Mayas.
Definitely, uh-huh.
Yeah, because the only difference was that Incas used to offer plants, animals, mm-hmm, to the sun, like as you know if you read a bit more. But Azteca used to offer human beings.
To offer human beings?
Yes.
That was the difference.
It's the big difference.
And what was the major pagan god?
Well, our main god was like the sun.
The sun?
The moon and the wind.
So, in a sense, the forces of nature were the gods, as one would expect. Even the Romans had several gods, I mean, dedicated almost to everything, whether it's food, whether it's thunder, whether it's wisdom, and so on and so forth. Intellectually, who would be the major intellectuals in Peru today?
I think Vargas Llosa. Is one of the guy who got the Prize Nobel last year. I think he's from Arequipa as well, yeah. And he's I admire him because he was always sincere, you know, when he came to be a president in 1990s, he was sincere, but sometimes when you're sincere, you don't get the right vote, you know.
Mm-hmm. And how is political life organized? Is it familistic or more bureaucratic, so to say?
I think more bureaucratic. Everyone look at basic money, you know, in the progress of the country.
And which are the major parties, the major political parties?
To tell you the truth, we don't have like more than
two parties.
Two parties.
You've got many.
Many, yeah.
So, yeah, very typical of even, so to say, European countries. I mean, I think the Maltese have taken the British model, more or less, of having two major parties, or in England there are three major parties. In Malta, we have two big ones and the small one. There was a time when we had more, but still, there has always been a tendency to imitate British Parliament. Even if you look at our Parliament, the way it is built, our parliamentarians face one another. They don't sit round as they do in Italy or in France or in Germany, and then you've got the Speaker in the middle or the Prime Minister in the middle. So they have to face one another. It's even graphically, there are government and opposition. Mm-hmm. While in other countries, they don't speak normally of government opposition, but they speak of majority and minority in parliament. But our politics very hot when election come. You've been to elections in Malta, I think, and you've seen how we behave or misbehave, and how it depends how one looks at it. How are things in Peru?
I think you can see and touch the politics here more because it's a small country and you can see really. But in Peru it's a bit wider, like you don't feel it in, for example, you feel in the city then and the outskirts of the city, you don't feel it too much, you know. But then the last week, 2 weeks, like.
Okay, so it is during election time that you feel it, that you feel it most.
Yes.
Marjan, thank you very much for joining us for this program, and we hope that our next program will discuss another culture. Thank you very much. Okay.